Blog Talk Radio.
That the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger, and I bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, guide, warner, comforter in our midst. And I am so grateful to be back with you all this year and greet you all in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum salam. And of course, Happy New Year, dear sister.
Thank you, thank you, and Happy New Year to the listening audience, all of you in the chat room and on the phones. Happy New Year once again, and thank you for joining us here live on Put on the New Man, our live study group. And I just want to say to Student Minister James, I'm looking forward to a wonderful, wonderful 2014 with you, and pretty soon we may even be neighbors, so there's a lot going on. In 2014, so
yes.
Thank you for being such a brother, a father, a Wiley, a friend, and a wonderful, wonderful host, and a diamond amongst the FOI, and just such a gem in the ministry class of the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. So I will present our dear beloved host, Student Mr. James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, dear Sister Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad. Thank you so much, dear sister, for the wonderful format you have extended to us last year, and inshallah this year it will be greater than what Allah has made it last year, if it pleases him. But I want to thank you publicly, dear sister, committing to you that we will do all that we can, all within our power, with the permission of Allah, to show our appreciation for this wonderful gift that you have given us in this forum. And I thank Allah for you, dear sister, and of course we are all thankful to Allah to be on this side of the new year by Allah's grace and permission. I want to thank our beloved brother, our esteemed panelists, our dear brother and author, Brother Ilya Rashad Muhammad, who is with us this evening, as I had announced that he would be, and his generosity, his charity, and his agreeance with us to be on the show, even though I must confess I didn't formally confirm it with him, but he didn't leave me out there. So I want to thank Allah for you, dear brother. All praises due to Allah. And always, always to our beloved audience of 2013 and inshallah of 2014, words cannot express our deep gratitude and the great debt that we owe you for your loyalty, for your consistency, mm-hmm. and for your regular tuning in to this show and all of the shows on the Nation Building Network. Thank you. And so, always, in and with the name of Allah and the help of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we bear witness that there is no God but He, and we cannot thank Allah enough for making Himself known to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and then he making him known to us all. We thank Allah for Master Farad Muhammad. We thank him for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we thank him for that one who, through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he fashioned and shaped and prepared for this critical hour at which we have arrived. And, of course, the man of whom I speak, the man of the hour, the champion of the day, our beloved and blessed Redeemer, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I want to greet all of you with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
as-salam, sir.
And tonight, as promised, with the help of Allah, we are hosting our dear brother and author, Brother Ilya Rashad Muhammad. He will be discussing, and we will be discussing, in great detail, the subject of the wheel, but more specifically, his book, UFOs and the Nation of Islam, the Source, the Proof, and Reality of the Wheels. As you recall, on last week, there was much interest generated on this subject matter, and as a matter of protocol, we did not get into it in any depth because of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's anticipated handling of this subject matter on the next day, and we certainly did not want to go before him. But now that Part 51 has been aired, and now that he has made and laid the foundation for our discussion in Part 51, the wheel, the great mother plane, a la God's calling card, we now can go full steam ahead discussing our beloved brother's book and the subject matter of the wheel. So at this time, I'm very honored and happy to present to all of you once again our dear brother, Ilya Rashad Muhammad. Dear brother, the mic is yours, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much.
Alaikum.
Wa alaikum as-salam. And again, thank you so, so much, Brother James, Sister Aziza, and all of those with the Nation Building Network. I am truly, truly honored to start off this new year with my brothers and sisters on this very, very important talk dealing with the wheel. What better way to start off our year than to start off on the truth that has been given to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and continued and furthered and explained and exemplified by the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. I'm truly honored. This is the time to discuss this intriguing topic that millions of Americans and countless millions more throughout the world have become so interested in. So many people have wondered, what are these wheel disc-shaped objects that have been seen throughout the world that have destabilized many of the world's most advanced nuclear weaponry? What are these disc-like objects that have been labeled flying saucers and UFOs that have been witnessed by thousands and millions of people, and thousands of reports are given annually? What are these crafts that have intrigued the world since the mid-40s? These are some of those questions that we and the public has asked for several decades. Fortunately, all of those questions have already been answered before there were ever any concerns about these so-called UFOs. And we're just very fortunate and happy that we are on the side of those who know the answers to these intriguing questions. So I'm honored to be on this show. I'm honored to start off the new year with you all. And being that my background is that of an educator, you know, in the classroom, sometimes I'd like to start off my talk by really responding to questions. I could sit up here and, you know, give a whole diatribe and give a mini lecture, but I don't think that's necessarily what the listening audience would want. I would love if perhaps we could shoot some questions regarding this phenomenal subject concerning the wheel, or UFOs as some have called it, concerning the talk given by the Honorable Louis Farrakhan on Part 51 of The Time and What Must Be Done. This great wheel, the mother plane, God's calling card. So if at all possible, I would love to get involved in the discussion from you, Brother James, Sister Aziza, and members of our listening audience.
Well, thank you.
Okay, yes,
brother.
Sir. Well,
That's right. And with the grace of Allah, that we shall do. We shall not waste a moment. Let me just say that looking over the table of contents of this book, it is both intriguing and thought-provoking and thought-evoking.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
These wonderful subject matters. But I allow you to go into it, brother, and again, responding to your wishes, which, of course, are ours. we're going to engage the listening audience, excuse me, right away. So this
yes,
is
sir.
The
yes,
clue.
Sir.
We are open.
Okay, well, there are no questions yet. I guess they're waiting on dialogue. But if you do happen to have a question, those of you who are on the phone, press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll take your question live. And those of you in the chat room, go ahead and start typing away if you have questions about the mother wheel or any of the minister's, any part of the minister's lecture from last week. Go ahead and type it in, and, of course, we'll address it. But no questions yet.
Okay, well,
what I could offer is,
you know, giving a little background concerning the book. As you know, this is a very well-researched book. It contains nearly 300 pages with over 450 footnotes and over 200 citations, so that the reader can easily verify the truth of what is being stated. And this book project took me about an entire year to complete. Just giving a little background, first of all, this is a very intriguing subject. And what's interesting is that this is one of those subjects that for many years, many decades even, the Nation of Islam had been frequently mocked and ridiculed because of our intrinsic belief in these planes, these wheel-shaped planes that the world now refers to as UFOs. Before the masses of the public had smartphones and devices that can record these crafts and share with them on social media platforms and what have you, the Nation of Islam was frequently mocked. In fact, during the departure of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the advent of the new leadership, the assumed leadership of the Nation of Islam under Imam Waruquddin Muhammad, may God be pleased with his soul, you know, this is one of the aspects of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that was thrown out of the window. It was explained away. It was labeled as mythical. And in some Islamic and religious circles, it was even considered heretical. That was then. But now that contemporary data proves beyond doubt that these crafts exist, just as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad exclaimed since the early 1930s. Now, instead of ridiculing the Nation of Islam and its leadership and the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, now they treat us like that proverbial elephant in the room, where they act like they never heard anything about these UFOs, when all the while, the Nation of Islam was already giving answers to this phenomena before it had even reached the masses of the American public or the world, for that matter. So it's a funny dichotomy, if you will, that's taking place. And I'm so thankful because the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is so on time with his recent dealings with this topic of the mother plane or the mother wheel. And it's no coincidence to me that as soon as he has engaged on this topic, we see mass sightings taking place. There's a recent report where over California, different parts of California, they've been sighting these wheels. The Army can't explain it. The Navy and the armed forces have no explanation for these unidentified aircraft that have been seen over California over the last few days. This is no coincidence. And if we study the history of this subject as it relates to the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, we know that these wheels, as he stated, follow him wherever he goes. And he says, you can take it or let it alone. So now America, its leadership, the world, its leadership, its governments, its militaries, its powers, and its intelligence are going to have to deal with the man who is actually the bona fide representative of those wheel-like planes that have been seen throughout the world. And I'm talking about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for that talking point, dear brother. And as those of us who were blessed and had the presence of mind to watch the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's 51st installment of The Time and What Must Be Done, of course, again, it was under the title, That Great Mother Plane, Allah God's Calling Card. Three principal points he initially took on, which were as follows: the importance of the wheel, the relevance of the wheel, and what that wheel represents in terms of attributes of Allah God. Now, in your book, according to this wonderful table of contents, you have similar principles of information, of knowledge. You have a religious anomaly as one of your chapters, a superior education, a threat to world powers, the closest encounter of any kind. Let's take these three principal points, if you will, dear brother, and then lift them from your perspective and your written expression in your book, dealing first and foremost with the importance of the wheel. What is the importance of the wheel?
Oh, my. That's significant. I think the Honorable Louis Farrakhan labeled it best when he used the subtitle, God's Calling Card. This carries tremendous significance because if God is to manifest his power, how does he do it? Does he do it in a hocus-pocus, fictitious way that Hollywood has frequently portrayed that God would do? You know, we've all seen the movies, Bruce Almighty, and all of these fanciful characterizations of God and how God would show his power. But the scriptures, the prophecies of the Bible and the Quran, give very vivid delineations on God's presence, his coming, and his signs of his power. And it's interesting to note that throughout the scriptures of both Bible and Quran, God has frequently manifested or shown his power through celestial means, through some type of heavenly vehicle or aircraft that has been described in different texts as things like clouds, heavenly thrones, wheels even, chariots, all of these different terms that refer to some type of vehicular mode of transportation that God uses from above. We are familiar in Exodus and in the Old Testament where God followed and guided the children of Israel through what appeared to be a cloud by day and what appeared to be some type of pillar of fire by night. So clearly it was some type of stealth camouflage that was used to hide God's vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
We read in other areas where many of God's prophets and messengers are even taken up, if you will, on his chariots of fire, as in Elijah. Some are literally taken up into these clouds. But this is a way that God manifests and shows his power, his calling card, in his mercy and in his love, which are his attributes, Rahman, Rahim, the beneficent, the merciful. He gives even the enemy the opportunity to submit to his will. How does he get the enemy? How does he give the enemy an opportunity to submit to his will? Well, you take big bad America, big bad world superpowers who have military prowess that they're flexing all throughout the world. You can't get just an average Joe to go up to these world powers and tell them to submit and do what's right. But God, in his wisdom and in his mercy, shows these world powers what he has to offer through a technology that they cannot compete with. And it is this technology, these so-called UFOs, we know them as wheels. It is through this technology that most of your world powers have witnessed and seen these crafts, not only seen, but these crafts have shown their power by interfering with the world's most advanced nuclear weaponry. I can't go throughout, I wouldn't even have time to go throughout the list telling how many military officials from around the world have come forth and admit to the fact that they have seen these wheels over their nuclear weapon site, and these wheels have destabilized or interfered with their nuclear weaponry. This is the importance of the wheel. This is proof that a mighty God is on scene. This is proof that the God represented to us by the Honorable Louis Farrakhan and his teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, this is proof that their God is the true and living God. Tangible proof at that. And you mentioned a chapter from the book, or subheading, if it, I believe, dealing with this subject as a religious anomaly.
Yeah.
You know, in scientific circles, an anomaly is something that seems to be a problem that is inexplicable. It does not seem to be explained by conventional means. Well, the reality of these wheels is something that this world, with all its intelligence, cannot explain, you know? And so when we look at traditional religious customs, traditional religious theologies, it is very difficult for traditional religions to be able to justify this phenomena that they call UFOs. It's difficult for them to justify this reality with their traditional beliefs. You know, there have been many religious clergy who have wondered, how can we reconcile the reality of these planes with our traditional beliefs, you know? And it's funny because customarily, many of those who have mocked the Nation of Islam in the past have often come from religious viewpoints.
Yeah.
It's been religious, whether it's the traditional Islamic view or the world of Christendom, even Judaism, so to speak. You know, these are the primary entities that have ridiculed the Nation of Islam when it came to this matter. But now that this reality is evident in the world, as contemporary data shows and proves, now people are wondering, oh, wow, our religion can't explain this. What are we to do?
Mm.
Well, had we listened to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the first place, you would have all of that solved, you know. But fortunately, another opportunity is given. So now we need to not only listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan delineate this intriguing subject, but we need to take heed to this man who was giving this information, because as I stated earlier, he is the representative of these wheels. So part of the problem in religion and in education for that matter is that if there is a public admission that these planes exist, at some point they are going to have to acknowledge the man who represents these wheels. See, it's one thing to just admit that UFOs exist or these wheels exist, but you can only go so far admitting these planes exist while ignoring the man that brought this information to the modern world. I'm talking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So at some point, this is where these wheels become a religious anomaly, because at some point they're going to have to admit that Elijah Muhammad met the supreme being who introduced this reality to the world. That is the problem. That is the core essence of the UFO cover-up altogether.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily just the fact that some unidentified planes exist. The American people could handle that. The world could easily handle that. But the reason that the world powers have covered up this reality and continue to conceal this truth is because the more the public understands and believes and recognizes this reality, they're going to have to recognize the man that represents them. And that's the part, that's the hard pill that they find hard to swallow.
Very well said, dear brother. And, of course, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has stated in the 51st installment of the lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done, in the midst of all of this ridicule, all of this mocking and discounting, this is what he states. In 2012, ABC's news blog writer, Alan Harris, that is under UFOs exist, say 36% in National Geographic Survey, June 27, 2012. U.S. news blog writer Seth Klein, the most, and this is under an article, most Americans believe the government keeps UFO secrets, survey for the National Geographic finds extraterrestrial visits not that crazy an idea to most Americans. June 28, 2012, and Educating Humanity, an organization which tracks UFO cases. The full results of the National Geographic poll on UFOs and aliens, June 29, 2012, all reported that 36% of Americans, about 80 million people, believe UFOs exist, and a tenth of our population, that is 40 million people, believe they have spotted or have seen one. These reports are based upon a National Geographic Channel poll conducted in 2012 about UFOs, unidentified flying objects, titled Aliens Among Us. In advance of airing the channel's 8-part series, Chasing UFOs, natgottv.com/chasingUFOs, that's obviously the web address, the poll also showed that 48% of Americans are not sure about the existence of UFOs, and 79% believe there is a government cover-up about UFOs. So in the midst of the ridicule, the mocking, and the vilification, yet these polls clearly reflect the concerns and interests of the American people, much to the chagrin of those who are behind this obvious and becoming more obvious cover-up. So that's what we want to talk about, dear brother. After noting these points made and, of course, the information that you shared with us, I want to, again, extend the opportunity to the listening audience to get into the discussion. So, my dear sister Aziza, are there any, as we say, with their hands up, either in the chat room or on the phone?
Yes, sir. We have some in the chat room, but we have an influx of new callers. So let me remind the listening audience, those of you who are calling by phone, Brother Ilya is taking questions that you may have about UFOs or the mother wheel, and go ahead and press one on your dial pad and we will take your questions. But we have a very interesting question from Brother Michael. and he spells it different, but I'm assuming it's Michael. He says, if not aliens, who are manning these planes? Are they immortal? The NOI has been claiming this for over 50 years. Are these ordinary people with families and friends? And if so, where do they live?
Wonderful, wonderful question. These are certainly people, human beings like us, but I don't think I would say that they're ordinary. Not ordinary in the sense that, you know, they act like us, they think like us. They are human beings just like us. However, they are human beings who have been taught under a totally different tutelage. These are human beings who have been taught under the tutelage of the Supreme Being himself, under God himself. These are no aliens. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke of his personal relationship with some of these people whom he referred to as scientists or angels. They are not spooks. They are not aliens or extraterrestrial beings. These are earthly human beings from this earth who actually control and guide or pilot, if you will, these circular craft called UFOs. And if you'll notice, in my book, I have a heading and some terminology that I call preemptive propaganda. And what this preemptive propaganda is just part of the cover-up technique that Hollywood, the American government, its military intelligence, and other world powers have all been accomplices in. This preemptive propaganda is a system of deceiving the people before they even get a chance to know the reality of these wheels. And part of the way that you deceive the public before they get a chance to know the truth themselves is by flooding the TV, the movies, the cinema, with these fictitious depictions of aliens. And then the people start to associate these fictitious aliens and creatures with the wheels that are now being seen over America's cities. See, this is part of the preemptive propaganda campaign that is still taking place. And don't you know, there is no evidence whatsoever that even suggests that these planes are from outside of this world, that they are not from this earth. The only thing people have to go by is Hollywood, you see. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made it very clear in his books, in his teachings, and certainly we illustrate that in our book, UFOs and the Nation of Islam. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad proved, he didn't come guessing what these planes were. He came with actual firsthand facts. That's directly right. From the one responsible for building and orchestrating these planes. So when you're dealing with the UFO topic, any sincere, serious researcher who wants to get to the primary source would have to deal with the Nation of Islam. You see, and this is one problem that I have even with so-called UFO researchers or ufologists, as they are often called. With all of their capabilities, with all of their resources that they have to research this phenomena, I notice how it seems that they deliberately overlook the man who introduced this to the world. Now, that's really, it's really insane, to be honest with you. You know, as a researcher and as an academic, you know, there's things that you consider credible and non-credible when it comes to research. If you compile your research and most of your data or all of your data comes from secondhand sources, then we cannot consider this to be that credible. However, when a researcher engages in his or her research and they derive their material directly from its primary sources, then we can consider this research more credible. Well, why don't these so-called ufologists and UFO researchers consult with the man that introduced this reality before they even had questions about them.
Good
you see?
Yes, sir.
So if we look at it from a strictly academic and secular perspective, all roads still lead to the Nation of Islam. And this is the beauty of this subject. The beauty of this subject, especially the way that Allah blessed me to be able to put it in the book and compile it, it matters not what area or endeavor that one is engaged in. We can approach this subject and prove our case from any perspective, whether it's religious and theological, whether it's strictly secular and academic. If we want to deal with straight science and logic, there is no escaping dealing with the fact that Elijah Muhammad got this information directly from the Supreme Being. So this is part of one of the reasons why I'm so adamant about this subject, because I know through this subject, the wheel, the mother plane, this is just one of many ways that we literally prove that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad met God in person. And again, it matters not what perspective you want to deal with this. You can deal with it from a religious perspective. We can deal strictly with secular science and history if need be. But again, all roads have to lead to the man that brought this to the world. That's the part that they have deliberately overlooked. That's what Hollywood wants to make sure that the public believes these are aliens for. Those who actually in high military and governmental offices, what they actually know, they know who represents these wheels. Now, the public may not know. Some of their underlings in the military and in government may not know. But the wise, they know for certain that Louis Farrakhan is the representative of those wheel-like crafts that they call UFOs. How they deal with that is another question altogether.
Well, thank you, beloved, for that answer. Very beautiful and to the point. Sister Aziza? Okay.
We have a question from...
Keep them coming. Yes, ma'am.
We have a question from Brother Caleb. Well, questions are coming. He said, I believe many of the missing are on these planes. At first, you would only hear about white people missing. In the last 3 years, there have been several hundreds of thousands of blacks that have come up missing. Do you think this is related?
Well, I'm not going to put missing persons, I'm not going to necessarily blame that on the wheel. However, historically speaking, we do know that those on the wheel have abducted people. They have abducted, say, cattle and livestock, if you will. And in many of the credible abduction cases, we find where those who have been abducted and were able to tell about it, it seems as though the reason for their abduction had something to do with some type of scientific process, you know. And, of course, that's a case-by-case basis. You would have to look up some of those abduction cases, the Travis Walton abduction case of 75 and even the President Kirsan Ilyumzhonov of Kalmykia. You know, these are just some that come to mind. But in most of these abduction cases, the credible ones anyway, we're not talking about those people with tin foils on their head talking about, you know, they got abducted by some aliens. We're not even dealing with that. But there are some credible cases that people have been abducted. Now, for many of the missing persons in America and around the world, we have no proof that the wheel is responsible for that. You know, people can speculate, but people have become missing for so many, for countless years, before and after the launching of the wheel. You know, Satan can probably take credit for that as well. After all, he kidnapped us. There's millions of people from our mother continent. Just adding a little logic to it.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, I have one from John 2. John 2 says, how does this compare with Ezekiel's wheel if this wheel was built in 1929?
Thank you. This is the fulfillment of what Ezekiel prophesied about, what many historians and theologians and biblical scholars have to acknowledge is that what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said is biblically sound and historically accurate. He taught that Ezekiel was a prophet, and what Ezekiel saw was a prophecy. This is why in the first chapter of Ezekiel, it explains this as a vision of Ezekiel, a vision. This is not a historical account. This is what he is, a vision of something that is to come. So being that prophet Ezekiel is a prophet and not a historian, that means that he was blessed by God to foresee and foretell things that are to come in the future. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made it very clear that this wheel, this mother wheel, and its 1,500 smaller wheel-like planes that launched in 1929 are the fulfillment of that prophecy given by Ezekiel. You see? So remember, there's a difference between prophecy and history. This is something that the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is making very clear to us, and that all religious scholars and theologians should take heed to. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was given the understanding of these prophecies. And not only was he given the understanding of these prophecies, but he was also given and shown the tangible proof of these prophecies. And that tangible proof is being cited almost daily in the news.
Yes, sir. Okay, we do have some questions from the chat room, but I want to give the listening audience on the phones an opportunity to chime in, and the ticker keeps turning over. So for those of you who are just calling in, press one on your dial pad. And we want to hear your voices this year. There's a ton of people on the phone, so I want to hear some voices tonight. So press one on your dial pad. Okay, I got one. I want to hear from as many of you all as possible, because we don't know when Brother Ilya is going to be able to come back. But if you want to ask your questions, and there are no negative or bad questions, I am so sure that our brother will yield to you and give you the best answer that he can possibly can, or he will obtain the answer for you. So here we go. St. Louis is in the house. Area code 314, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Brother Gene calling from St. Louis. And I just wanted to
ask. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Gene. Happy New Year to you.
The same to you. And to your powers, it's an honor and privilege to be amongst the believers tonight. I want to just make a statement. Now, according to Area 51, and if that did happen, which I believe that it did, is it a possibility that one of the planes that crashed, that the government and the higher-up officials have really studied and analyzed whomever was driving one of those baby wheels and possibly found in their DNA, our DNA? Is that a possibility?
Anything is possible, but we want to look at the facts, and we want to look at what's logical. And by the way, that's a very wonderful question too, Brother Jane, and I thank you. Our book, we have a subheading dealing with Roswell, the known and the unknown, which is associated with the Area 51 information. But let's just get this clear. And this is what something that all listeners and ufologists need to understand. The wheels represented by Allah and his messenger and his Messiah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, these wheels are far, far, far superior than anything that the conventional intelligence of this world could fathom.
Yep.
So it is highly unlikely that these supremely advanced wheels would have crashed, you see?
Yeah.
However, there is a possibility that Allah would give or allow some of this technology into the hands of the enemy to see how they will act.
Yes, sir.
The Holy Quran verifies this possibility because it talks about how the devil, Shaitan, would try to listen in on Allah's exalted assembly. And Allah would literally allow the devil, Shaitan, to snatch away something. It's like he would give him something. And Allah promises that after the devil is given this, whatever it is, from his exalted assembly, that the devil would be constantly pursued by a brightly shining flame. Oh, my, this is deep right here.
Yes, sir.
There is a possibility that Allah may have allowed some of his technology into the hands of the enemy to see how they would act. And it is true that many of the most advanced aircraft of this world today has been done by reverse engineering. Don't you know that John Lear, who is the son of Bill Lear, this is the people who invented the Lear jet, some of the most sophisticated aircraft of today. John Lear stated that he and his father, that his father was inspired by his observance of UFOs to build the Lear jet. They used reverse engineering technology based on their observation of these UFOs. Now, these are scientists, you see. So whether something landed or was given to them or not, we know that much of their technological advancements and mechanical advancements have taken place because of their observance of these wheels. Whether these wheels was in their hands or not, we do know that's a fact. Based on what these scientists who invented the Lear jet and who invented or played a significant part in the communications transition systems, there are many who have claimed that their reverse engineering of UFO technology is responsible for their advancements. So it's an excellent question, Brother Gene. Now, of course, we go much deeper into this in the book now. There's only so much that, you know, we can share on here. But we definitely, matter of fact, I'll just say it outright. We answer that question fully in the book.
Yes, sir. I will have to get that. And that was an excellent point that you made, that Allah would deliver to the enemy just so the enemy shall know, you know, that we are, you know. So that's a great explanation. But last but not least, but I just want to share with the listening audience my experience that I've had on the wheel. And then I wrote to Minister Farrakhan and shared them with him. And as Allah is my witness, back in the middle 80s, I had an out-of-body experience where I was taken upon a wheel and set on a hospital gurney. And a human was in front of me, and they took my head from a right face to a left face slowly. And I noticed the mist in the room, and it was the focal point of the room was the stained the steel cabinets around the room. And when I got to the left place, a scroll came down with old English writing. And I became fascinated with old English writing since that vision. And it just came to me in 2009 what the writing was. And it was the final call. May 19, 2010, I had a vision, a dream-like vision, that me and some believers was in the basement of my home in a study circle. And May 19, 2010, in Atlanta, they held a convention introducing the new iPad. And in the vision, the dream, this was a dreamlike vision here, and a huge iPad appeared over the major city. And the people came out their home, their place of work, and was fascinated about the colors and the sound and the music that this huge iPad was putting out. But it started to ascend, and when it got above the clouds, it transformed into the wheel. And me and the believers, we were the only ones that recognized the transformation. And we said, that's the wheel. And I had an old TV sitting on a table that never worked. And we looked at one another and said, that's the wheel. Let's see if we've got the power that's on the wheel. And we put a piece of copper wire across the table, and we all touched it at one time. And the television came on. And we looked at one another and said, we've got the power that's on the wheel, and let's go conquer the world. Now, I just took a trip to Springfield, Missouri, on November 24th, and I had an Orthodox Muslim in the back seat of my car, and I had a Christian brother on the passenger side. And I had shared with them about these UFOs, but they didn't believe it. So we're traveling on Highway 44 on November 24th, just this past November, and the passenger on the vehicle, he just got hysterical. He said, look, he said, excuse my language. He said, what the hell? And I knew what it was. And my brother in the back seat, he glanced at it, and he got so frightened that he put his coat over his head. I said, no, no, Brother Lamont, get up. Look at it. And they witnessed it. And they were so frightened. And I said, just be calm. We okay. You know, we drove into Springfield, Missouri. And 3 days later, that's when we got the ice storms, the snow, and everything else. And I just wanted to share that with you, brother, and allows my witness. But since that, you know, and that vision that I had back in the middle 80s, that vision really just came to me back in 2009. I was really able to dissect it on what I really experienced in 2009. And I know it was an out-of-body experience because I found myself being brought back into my mother's house and coming through the back door. And I said, well, I don't sleepwalk. How did I get out of the house? But that vision just came back to me in 2009.
Okay. Wow, wow. Mm-hmm. That's interesting to say the very least. And, Brother Gene, certainly thank you for sharing your experiences, you know. And normally when people have experiences like those, it's likely something in that for you.
Yes,
sometimes,
sir.
You know, it may not be something for everybody. Who knows? But
yes,
it may be something in that for you. And go do as what I heard you say. Go and conquer the world.
Yes,
what
sir.
You said is true. We do have the same power, the same potential as those who operate the wheels. Of course, we have a lot more training
yes, sir.
That's required, but the potential and the capabilities are within us nonetheless. So you go do what Allah has put on your heart and on your mind, to do, brother. And may Allah grant you success in that.
Yes, sir. And dear family, thank you, Brother Rashad, and thank you, our brother, is it Jane?
Brother
What's
Gene.
Your name?
Gene.
Yes, sir, Brother
Gene.
Yes, thank you, Brother Gene. Thank you very much. And I wanted to say about such incidences as this, from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's words, he stated that when people, believers, or people in general come to him or by some way access him and share with him that they had a vision, maybe of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, or maybe received a message from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to convey to him, he said he never takes the position that these people are off, these people are delusional. He always takes the position that if it is real, and particularly from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and or Master Farad Muhammad, they will make him to know it. And he says, as you said, Brother Rashad, he states that if Allah has revealed to you that there's something that you have to do by his instruction or by his inspiration, he said, well, then you go do it. And the doing of it and the subsequent success of the doing of it will make manifest the reality, the veracity of it, and whether or not it is from the gods, Master Farad Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But never take the position that people who experience these things are delusional or, you know, are off.
That's right.
So continue. You responded very well, Brother Rashad, and thank you, Brother Gene, for your question.
Yes, yes. You know, let
okay,
us
we have another question on the phone. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say let us take into consideration the vision-like experience of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
That's
there
right.
were many who thought he was delusional. There were many who literally left the Nation of Islam altogether when he shared this experience. But with the help of Allah, fortunately, we know now and we can see as evidence has surfaced that Allah did put something on his heart and on his mind and that he was not in error in seeing what he saw. But it was that which was revealed from his Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Sister Aziza?
Okay, are you all ready to take another question?
Sure, sure.
Okay, area code 862. Your mic is now live. And let me remind the listening audience, I'm sorry, the phones keep turning over. Those of you who are calling me and you have a question for Brother Ilya or Brother Studeminister James, please press 1 on your dial pad. No hiding out this year. We want to hear from you. So don't
That's
make
right.
me start calling your phone numbers out because I got you right here in my face. So press 1 on your dial pad. Just call in and give the greeting and say Happy New Year or something. But don't just sit there. Thank you. Okay, area code 862. Your mic is now live.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam.
This is Sister Sharon 4X, Mosque number 25. I was wanting to ask about the teleportation part. How does that tie in with the people on the wheels?
Okay. Thank you. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't use the language teleportation or anything. In fact, teleportation... that's something from Star Trek. That's something from Hollywood. I'm not saying that such does not exist, but any information or data concerning teleportation that I know of comes from science fiction and Hollywood, you know. And I don't want to sound cynical in any way, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used terms like tuning in and radio in the head. These are terms that would probably be referred to as telepathy and telekinesis on by this world's scientific terminology. And tuning in and this radio in the head basically refers to the capabilities that is not only used by the scientists aboard those wheels, but by some of our righteous brothers and sisters on this earth. And it basically refers to the ability to, in some cases, read the thoughts of others, but also even manipulate to some degree the thoughts and the thinking of others, you see. In many of these encounters where the wheels have been seen over nuclear weapon sites, these wheels have interfered with some of the communication. These wheels have shut down some of the missile launches and some of the advanced weaponry at these sites, and they have done it, you know, from afar. So that's some heck of a tuning in and radio in the head that's going on right there. But the teleportation aspect of it, that's not the terminology that I'm familiar with. And when I think of or hear teleportation, you know, I kind of get in the mind of what we used to see on Star Trek, where they would beam somebody up and they would appear somewhere else. Well, I don't know anything about that type of teleportation, but Allah does tell us in the Holy Quran that he is able to take men's souls, which is referred to as nafs in Arabic. Allah is able to take men's souls. He can take the essence of people. And I believe that a similar technology is used by these scientists on the wheel, as in the case of the minister's experience. His body was in Mexico, but the essence of him was taken aboard this wheel. So I hope that answers part of the question.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. And please give the greetings to everybody at Mosque number 25 in Newark, New Jersey.
Inshallah, yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, sister. Okay. Brother Eugenio.
Oh, praise be to Allah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, assalamu alaikum to everyone. How you doing this afternoon?
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Eugenio.
Wa alaikum salam.
Oh, yeah. I do apologize. I am getting here late to it. I had to take a test. But that was just my spiritual auntie calling me out off of Blog Talk Radio. She probably saw me when I called in, and I'm just getting relaxed, and I can hear that voice. She's telling me, say, yes, just don't sit there, just call in. She just knows her nephew all too well.
Crazy, yes, oh, sir.
Yeah, definitely is. You know, I wanted to comment the dear brother Ilya, he touched on about the tuning in or the radio that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad mentioned and taught. And I know that Sister Aziza is well aware of such an ability that I used on her in the early beginnings of being introduced to the network. And I do believe that we do have that ability where we can tap in or we can just feel or sense the thoughts or the energies of other individuals. Now, oddly enough, I had never had such an ability years ago. It's only really started to develop in the last year. Well, I'm not saying I can catch everybody that passes or sense everybody that passes, but it is something that I do observe and notice, and I'm not afraid to say it, but it is something I do notice and I do observe when I'm in the grocery stores. People can be at a distance from me, and I can actually feel them before I even get close to them. It's almost like you just get like a snapshot of how they are. And it's not like you're hearing their thoughts or anything, but you can just feel them. And a lot of times, since I am an artist, sometimes an emerging artist, sometimes you can feel or sense colors, emotions from an individual. And so I think if I may use Sister Aziza's example, I remember it was one afternoon, I just felt her, and I've never seen my spiritual auntie, never seen her before, but I just felt her, and I'm way out here in Georgia, she's out there in Houston, Texas, and so I just never seen her, but I felt her one afternoon. I just felt her, and she just did not feel well, and I was just touched to give her a call. And she was shocked when we were talking. She was shocked that she said, "You felt me?" I said, yeah, well, I felt something. I knew you didn't feel well, so I was just compelled to just give you a call and check on you." And she was just shocked. Yes, to just know. She said, "Are you tuning in? Are you tuning into me?" I said, I don't know what that is, but if that's what that's called, I felt you, sister. I told her, I explained to her that I felt something that was going on with her face or her head area, and she described that that's what was going on with her at that time. So I just wanted to confirm what the panel is talking about tonight. I am a firm believer in the building, and I'll just...
I'm a witness.
Beautiful.
Yes, she is, and I'm just humbled that Allah chose me to develop this gift, and I tell people that we're all capable of it. I believe we all are, and so I'll just continue to listen, but I just wanted to share that with the panel and to those who are listening. We're all capable of it. Just continue in the path that God needs for you to continue with. And as you continue to submit, he will see you as worthy and grant all that is upon and what you are destined to receive. So I'll just hang up and listen. And thank you so much for taking my call this evening.
Thank you, Brother Eugenio.
Thank
you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. The best you, brother.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you.
I am reminded. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of words from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, where he confirms what my brother just stated. This is something that we all are capable of, this tuning in, you know, and it should not be perceived as something spooky or bizarre. In fact, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the Theology of Time lecture series actually gave instructions on how to go about doing it. Beginning instructions of how to tune in. He talked about getting in a quiet place, you know, and concentrating or thinking about whoever it is that you are thinking about, you know, very hard. And it is very, very possible. So, you know, of course, there are some prerequisites that go along with that, too. It helps if we try to live right and try to eat right, and the more we're in tune with how to eat to live and living the life as given to us, the process of tuning in would become much, much easier. But again, it is a capability that we're all capable of.
Yes, sir, and I can bear witness to that because Sister Captain Gloria Jean, may Allah be pleased with her, she used to teach us that it's called the willing. You know how you can will something if you really desire it. And we used to have conversations about that. So sometimes you could just, the power of mind can will something into existence. And I can tell you personally, I can bear witness to that. So it's possible. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I do know the art of tuning in. All praise is due to Allah.
Praise be to Allah.
Okay, so are y'all ready for some more questions?
Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Area code 563. I know that's not who I think this is. Area code 563, your mic is live.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Leon.
Hey, how you doing? I'm just calling in, like I said, in the most holy name of Allah, who came in the person of Master W. Farah Muhammad and his greatest messenger, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and his divine reminder, and our most honorable minister, was Farah. I just wanted to bear witness on seeing, actual seeing and coming in contact with these wills. In 2010, I was briefly coming home, coming back to Iowa from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Getting a transfer from Muhammad's Mosque number 3 and moving back to the city here. And I just moved into an apartment. And my godmother, she came down from, I believe it was Peoria. Peoria. And she brought me this dog. And she felt that, you know, me moving back to the city, that I would need some type of company, and she gave me this dog. So I just started working this job and coming home late, so I would have to walk the dog late. I get off like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. So I'm walking the dog one morning, just walking down the street, and the dog stopped and looked up. I'm thinking he's stopping like I'm in some type of danger. But he looked up. He looked up in the sky. And when he looked up, I looked up. And all of a sudden, that's out of nowhere. We seen the object shining. And it just went up and just kept going. And that was my first experience. And I was not shook up. And I would just like to know those that have these experiences, don't get shook up, because they are not only there to let you know that they are there, they are there for protection, because there have been times where I have been out late night or coming home from work, you know, getting off the bus or something, and there will be some type of danger in the area. So all of a sudden, I just see wheels, and it would just, it's like they were letting me know not to go in certain areas. And I'm like, you know, is this why this is happening? And then you see, then 5-10 minutes later, I get off the bus or get somewhere, and there's a lot of police around, or just being in violent areas, they would just do things to let me know. It's just like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said when he was in Libya. They were flashing light to let him know, stop, don't go here.
Right.
Keep going. Go somewhere. Get up out of there. And that was my experience. And I have seen them many a times this summer. I had called in. I was so happy one day. I was like, wow, I'm seeing them again. Every other week. And it was like, it was a blessing. It was on the blessing to bear witness from what our leader and teacher that's amongst us today, to, you know, to share those experiences. Because it's something else when you come in contact and they know, they will let you know that they got you. They bagging you.
Wow. Wow.
And I just want to say all to all the believers, may Allah bless you with the prosperity of year and keep moving.
Yes, sir, Brother Leon. And you as well, dear brother.
Yes, sir.
Mm.
Indeed. Beautiful, beautiful. You know.
Good to hear from you, dear brother.
Good to hear from you also.
Thank you, Brother Leon, for sharing that. I was just thinking, in some of the latest reports, they say some 40 million Americans have actually seen these crafts. And that estimation is based on those who have actually reported it. Imagine how many more have seen these crafts who have not reported it. So this is why Minister Farrakhan's broadcast of the time and what must be done and his teachings concerning the wheel publicized have to be publicized, because we can rest assured that these sightings will increase in number, and the more these sightings take place, the people are going to need to know who the representative of those planes are. Otherwise, they'll be led to believe that these are some fictitious aliens. So it's also important that we, as believers who know what these planes are, we have to sometimes be reminded that there is a real power and a real God who is with us.
That's
so right. We don't even, you know, we should not falter in our faith one bit, because God has literally given us clear signs, clear arguments of his reality. And we see that being reported every day in the news. So thank you, Brother Leon, for sharing that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I need to jump back to the chat room because Sister Lynn says she wants to know why only selected people see these planes.
You know, it's a possibility that people could see them and not know that they see them. You know,
that's right.
If we look at the way of God as demonstrated in the Bible and in the Quran, sometimes it seems as though Allah will literally let the enemy see his power more than the believers. It seems like that sometimes. You know, when we look at the story of Pharaoh and Herod in the Bible, we see how they were given clear signs. You see, and often they would still make the wrong decision despite being given the clear evidence. So sometimes it seems as though many of those who hold positions of power in government, military, and otherwise have been given or have been granted sight of these things to see how they will act. But again, we see now how millions of people, countless millions of people, have seen these things. And there is a possibility that a person has seen these wheels and not known that they've seen them. After all, they can be disguised as clouds. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that they can hide behind the stars and make it look like there was nothing there. So who knows? Maybe there you've seen them and didn't know what you were looking at.
You know,
yes, sir.
Brother Rashad, Sister Aziza, if I may just share a very brief experience regarding this.
Please.
You know, the scripture says, blessed is he who sees and believes, but even greater blessed is he who does not see yet believe. For many years, as I have been in the nation for going on now 42 years, I would always wonder, I mean, everyone is seeing these wheels. Everyone is being blessed to see. I said, how come? I said, man, I just want to get one peek. I can't even get a peek, you know. And in 2012, coming home from the Savior's Day celebration, I'm riding in a car, and one of the passengers said, Brother James, Brother James, look out your window, look out your window. And so I look, and you know, I'm always on the lookout for the wheel. I've been looking out for signs, not to confirm my belief, because I was sold, no question, that they were there. But, you know, I'm always on the lookout to see if I would be one of the blessed ones to see. And sure enough, not only did I see the wheel, I saw wheels. I didn't see the mother plane. And they,
wow.
Brother Ilya, were actually putting on a show like Dancing Lights.
Wow.
And you could see the meticulous engineering and flight capability where they appeared to come so close that they almost crashed into each other. And it was in a non-pattern pattern, if you will.
Yeah.
They were seemingly askew, spinning and dropping and then ascending and then dropping again and turning in circles. And I watched. I said, "All praises due to Allah, my faith has been rewarded." But it was a sight to see, and very, very, very strange. Strangely enough, no report on the radio, no report on the TV, but it was right after the minister had delivered his lecture. 2012,
wow.
Savior's Day.
That's a blessing.
Yeah, it
that
is a blessing.
Is a blessing.
And
you know
not,
what?
Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. When I hear stories and accounts like that, sometimes I want to, you know, just kind of put my hands down or put my hands up and start singing old songs we used to sing in the church. What a mighty God we serve. What do y'all know about that now?
Sister Aziza, I think I may have heard some skills right there. Did you hear some skills?
I heard some skills, and he taking us back to church.
Hey,
but then you know his mother is a Stax recording artist, so he got that gift. Honestly, that is the son of the Wendy Renee. Yes.
Yeah.
And you know I'm a nightclub, the old nightclub singer, so I know all her stuff. Yes.
Wow. All right now. But we do serve a mighty God, you know.
Yes,
we serve a mighty God.
We do.
And
that,
when we hear those
old
songs.
Yeah. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
Okay. We have callers on the line and in the chat. Okay.
All right. Let's continue. Lest we digress, brother, out of emotion.
Yes.
Go ahead, dear sister.
Okay, area code 229, your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum, sister, Brother James, Muhammad, and yes. This is Brother Reginald Wynn calling
Brother
in.
Reggie.
Yes, Brother Reg.
How's everything going for everybody tonight? In the name of Allah.
Praise be to Allah, we will.
Oh, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I believe and bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his apostle and messenger, and I believe the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is a divine warner and guide for us in this day and time and critical hour. I have a statement, and then I got a question, because I really need to – I've been wondering about this for so long. First of all, I'd like to say – that I bear witness to all the experiences that we that everybody has had and is having at this current time, but a lot of people don't want to talk about it because, you know, they'll label you insane instantly for talking about some of this type of subject. But what we're doing is talking about Islam, and Islam is science and mathematics. So we write down the lane where we need to be. And this is confirmation why we do not need weapons to fight Satan. We are well protected. But I got a question. Is there any relationship, do you guys think, with these crafts and actually building these tall radio towers, I mean, that have that I have yet. I don't know if anybody else has, but I have yet to see anyone build them or put them up. You know, the ones in the rural areas where the red lights are blinking, because the earth is older than 6,000 years. And could the ones that operate these crafts be responsible for the building of these tall, what I like to call high-tech pyramids?
Wow. I've never heard that question or connection before. Now, as far as those tall towers with the blinking lights, those are municipal governments that are actually responsible for those and building those, if that's what you're talking about. You can clarify it if need be.
Right. Right, I'm not talking about like the ones that be on top of buildings, but if you go to a lot of rural places, you know, I used to live in Tampa and used to go to the rural places, and you'll see them up real tall, but I've never seen anyone put them up. So are they as ancient as the day, as the earth? I mean, because I just don't see anybody put them up, and I know it was an instance in the Bible where they were trying to build a tower to heaven. And God confused the language, and because they were trying to reach heaven. So I just want to know. It was just my curiosity, because I've been wondering, and Allah put it in my heart to you know, try to find out. I'd be trying to see. Come on, I got to see somebody building these, putting these things up, and you know, I understand that maybe Satan, he has interfered, and he can grab technology from it. He has that know-how, but did he actually put them up is my question.
Now, because when you say put them up, do you mean put the towers up or put, like, some other wheels or planes up?
No, just the radio tower itself. Have anyone ever seen them being built or put up?
I believe I know what you're talking about, that I've seen, especially when I'm on highways and rural areas, and I see these tall towers with blinking lights. Normally it's like a red light or something like that, or maybe a bright white light. And I believe those are used for, if it's not for cell phone and radio, sometimes they're used for planes, regular conventional aircraft. But I've never heard or known of any connection with those and the wheels. You certainly put something on my mind, brother.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Yeah, and also, you know, when I was young, I used to have these visions, and I used to see this is great confirmation, and it's almost making me tear up, because I thought I was, you know, all alone, crazy by myself, having these visions and having this non-verbal communication with people, you know, being able to discern their feelings and their pain and their spirit. And I know it's a higher science, and just to hear everybody call in saying they've experienced it, man, we are family. We got this. We don't have anything to worry about. And I thank Almighty God Allah for you guys even touching the subject, and the people who are calling in for their brave confessions, because it's important for us to know that we're not here alone, and we got backup. So that's all I really had to say on the subject. And thanks again. And Sister Queen, thank you for inviting me in. I'll get with you later, Brother James Muhammad.
Yes, sir, Brother Reggie. Thank you again, dear brother. Always wonderful to hear from you.
Wonderful.
Yes, sir.
You know.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm getting some interference. Brother Ilya, you have some background noise? I'm just trying to determine where it's coming from.
Okay, yeah, that was me. I'm good now.
Okay. Okay. That's fine. Yes, sir.
There was a thought
were you
that
about
came to
say?
Mind. Yes. There was a thought that came to mind. And regarding tuning in and our innate capabilities of doing so, and
I believe that most people in listening at some point or another have had those type of experiences, perhaps unintentionally. And what that is like a sign of how powerful our mind is, that sometimes our mind actually makes calculations on its own. Many of us have had those deja vu type experiences, or what some would call premonitions, where or they've had a dream, and then all of a sudden, maybe days or perhaps weeks later, they find themselves in the exact same scenario, and they think to themselves, man, I saw this, or I've been here before, and I remember something like this happening. Well, that's nothing spooky. That's just a sign of your mind having the ability to make calculations on its own. Now, when we were in our original mind, we have the ability to do it at will. Now we do it on accident. But it only shows that there is the propensities and the proclivities within us just to let us know that we still got it. We just got some training to do.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a question. Is it okay to ask one now?
Sure. Sure.
Okay. I think her name is Sister Fazia Muhammad. Oh, my goodness. Okay. She says, we have seen baby planes shape shift. Can you shed light on that and also the meaning of the triangle formations we often see?
Okay. All right. Well, the wheels, many have seen the wheels. I'll start with the last part first, the triangular formations. I don't know if there's any particular meaning behind the triangular formation, because these wheels have been seen in other formations of wheels as well. During Brother James' encounter, he mentioned how the wheels were traveling in some type of non-conventional pattern. It was an organization to it, but it didn't look like it was a set organization or a set pattern. And we see all of these taking place. Some people have seen them in almost like a circular, or seeing them in diamond patterns. I don't know what, if any, if there's a meaning behind that. Now, the other part regarding shapes and things like that, depending on the vantage point of the onlooker, the wheel or wheels may appear to look otherwise. This is why some people have described it as cigar-shaped. Maybe it's because of the angle from which they are looking at it. Some people have even described it as like a pyramid shape. It's circular, but almost like a pyramid. Well, again, that could probably have something to do with the angle from which the onlooker is viewing these wheels. But I had a discussion with the Honorable Louis Farrakhan about that, and he reminded me and made it very clear that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad described these as wheels because they are mostly wheel shapes. They are circular. So, and he was also suggesting, and it makes all the sense in the world, that we shouldn't try to explain what the enemy does, because the enemy has some of his attempts to put things out there, and we should not get confused with what Allah made. So he has stealth bombers and other triangular craft. That's not what Allah made. So when you see those, we should not get those confused with the wheels brought to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Okay.
Thank you, beloved.
Well, let me remind the listening audience that if you have questions, press 1 on your dial pad, but no more questions on the phones or in the chat room.
Yes, ma'am. And thank you. Thank you all for your participation. As we move towards the last 20 minutes of the show, Brother Ilya, I'd like to pose this question to you. Certainly these wheels have been in existence for many, many, many years, and many, many, many people know it, both of the enemy as well as the righteous. However, never have they been so visible with such increasing regularity. Now, what I want to ask you, dear brother, is why now? What does it symbolize? What is so significant about this time and the visibility now, the increasing visibility of the wheel? Brother, you there?
I'm sorry. I think I pushed mute.
Oh, yes, okay.
The Holy Quran shows us how Allah raises people by stages and degrees. So when Allah reveals some of his majesty, sometimes he doesn't just do it all at once, but he allows the people to grow to the point where they can be prepared to receive his majestic machines, if you will. I'm reminded in the book of Daniel where it talks about how at a certain point when knowledge would increase, how the book would be sealed until a certain time of the end when the prophecies and the knowledge and the wisdom of God would be sealed until a certain time when knowledge would increase and we would see people going to and fro. Well, this pretty much fits that day and time where we live in the information age. We live in a day and time where technological advancement is nothing too peculiar. Imagine how something as common as an iPhone, if something like that was just all of a sudden revealed in the 30s or the 40s or even the 50s to the public, that would be that would be enough to have people just go crazy almost, because it would almost be unfathomable to understand that such technology existed. Well, Allah similarly allows people to grow in stages and degrees. So if you'll notice, the level of sightings as time has progressed have become more and more frequent. So now, 2014, praise be to Allah, we live in a time where knowledge has increased. We have social media. We have all these smartphones and devices where people, when they see these wheels, they can capture them on film and share them instantaneously with the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go to YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, we can look up probably millions of videos and photos that have not even been reported by mainstream news channels, you see? So this is a day and time, and the data pretty much confirms it. 40 million people have seen them, 80 million people, and some reports say that nearly half of the American people believe in UFOs. So with numbers like that, this seems to be a fitting time for Allah to reveal his majestic masterpieces of mechanics.
Yes. Thank you, dear brother. I just want to perhaps expand on my question, qualify it perhaps, that I was looking to see if some clarity could be brought on the prophetic aspect of it. Where at in prophecy, where in prophecy, rather, does this relate to the growing appearances, the increasing appearances of the wheel and the wheels?
If I could try to say it simply, you know, without trying to get too deep, because we deal with it quite heavily in the book, but from the prophetic sense, or in the light of Scripture,
we see that these wheels are a clear sign and indication of the Messianic age, the time when the Messiah, or as some prophecies say, Messiahs, will reign. These wheels in the world are clear proof that the Messiah is present, because if you'll notice, all of your prophetic utterances concerning God's Messiah, whether it's under the name of a lamb or under the name of the Messiah in the Quran or the Christ in the Bible, all of them have to deal in some type of way with being taken up. The lamb in Revelation is associated with this New Jerusalem. The Christ is associated with some celestial ascension into the heavens to be with his God. The Messiah of the Holy Quran is made to appear dead, but then is exalted to be with Allah. So these wheels that travel throughout the skies are a clear sign and indication that the Messiah is present in the world and that God is present in the world.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know if that answered part of your question.
It does. It definitely does. You know, it is my belief, dear brother, that much of the confusion, much of the ridicule, if you will, the mocking, if you will, is our time from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the message and work of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our tie to those men with the wheel and how. It is written in Scripture that wherever the Son of Man went, the wheels
followed.
And
yes,
this,
sir,
of course, is what gives so much consternation among the public, the disbelieving public, because they cannot fathom a divine connection with science to such degree that it not only divinity, spirituality, religion, and science are not contradictory, but it's centered around black men, two or three significant black men, and that is, of course, Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever, Allah in person.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his exalted Christ, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And this is what causes so much consternation. Yes, it's science. Yes, it's a connection with spirituality and religion. But to think that these significantly prophetic events are tied to these men, the Christian world is up in arms because they're not quote-unquote Christians. The Orthodox Muslim world is up in arms because they're not quote-unquote Orthodox Muslims, but they are members of the Nation of Islam, that tiny nation here in the wilderness of North America that the scripture says is like unto a mustard seed. It starts small but then grows into a tree, and the roots of which take hold of the earth, and ultimately the branches spread throughout the earth, and the tree in fact becomes the earth. This is the Nation of Islam.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
these are significant ties. But our people in particular, I don't think whites, they may have a problem, but they're knowledgeable. They're quiet on the subject, you know, particularly the knowledgeable ones. But our people, when you get to talking about the connection of black people to these wheels, then this is something altogether. And as we approach the last 10 minutes of the show, brother, can you expound? I know it's in your book, and you don't want to give away all of the details of the book.
Oh, that's quite all right. That's quite all right.
But please, if you would.
Yeah, you got me thinking, Brother James. And this is just some of the information that is contained within the book. And it deals with the chosen people, because
yeah.
that's another clear indication of the chosen people. The chosen people of God have this wheel that follows them, this cloud by day, this pillar of fire by night. It is associated with the chosen people of God, the real children of Israel. And if you'll notice, the nation of Islam is the only significant group in the world that professes to know and have a direct relationship with these wheel-like craft known as the mother plane. It is this craft that is known in mystic Jewish studies as Merkaba, or the throne chariot of God, that is also used as a war machine of God. No, that's
yes,
it.
You know that.
We go into it in the book. I'm also reminded of that biblical prophetic story of Elijah and the Baal prophets in the book of Kings and 2 Kings, where there was literally a showdown to prove whose God was indeed the true and living God. And the criteria for this particular argument was based on whose God would respond from the heavens. Needless to say, we're not going to get deep into that story and preach. We can all read about it in 2 Kings. But it was this Elijah, this major prophet of obscure origin, who was considered the troubler of Israel. Clearly, he was considered a troublemaker by the leaders of Israel in that day. But it was this Elijah who represented what seemed to be a new God, what seemed to be a God who was different from the traditional gods of the people of that day. But this Elijah was summoned with the major task of making his God known. And what better way to do so than to challenge the leaders of the world to see whose God would respond through the heavens? Needless to say, it was Elijah's God who responded with fire coming down from heaven. And it was because of those clear signs that the people had to bear witness that Elijah's God is indeed God.
Yes, sir.
It is that same vein and spirit that we come with the teachings and knowledge of this mother wheel from the nation of Islam today. This is what distinguishes us from everybody, from every academic institution, from every religious tradition, from every scientific train of thought. It is the believers of the nation of Islam who bear witness and profess that their God is responsible for this huge masterpiece of mechanics called the mother wheel and its 1,500 baby planes or smaller wheel-like planes. It is this truth that we are willing to challenge the world of religion, the world of science, the world of academia and history, that the God of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the God of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the God of the Nation of Islam, is indeed the true and living God, and he came in person to make himself known. Now, the world has to deal with this reality. Will they respond to his representative, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, or will they ignore him and his words the same way they try to ignore these wheels? Well, the ball is in their court now.
That's
so we just want to make sure that we are on the right side and remain true and faithful to Allah's servant among us. And Brother James, I sincerely thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share these words and to share some of the book, which I don't think I shared too much of the book, actually.
Yes, sir.
I thank you, Sister Aziza, and all of you.
Yes, sir, but before you go, Brother Ilya, I have a couple of more questions from you for you, if you don't mind, from the listening audience. Okay, we have a brother out of my Twitter family, Soldier for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He wants you, if you could, expound on when they appear to look like beacon lights. And I'm trying to describe a photo that he's actually shared with me on Twitter. And I possibly can forward it to you, and maybe you can respond to him later. But is there a significance for when they cast off these huge, look like big, bright, white lights? And I guess he wants to know the significance of that, if any.
Well, I don't know the deeper significance of having these bright lights, but they have been described in both the prophecies and in many of the witness reports as being rather luminous, as generating magnificent lights, which can be of different colors and hues, so to speak. It is described in the Bible or in the Holy Quran when Allah says that he will have his bright shining flames pursuing the enemy. You know, this could also refer to some of these wheels. That bright shining flame is referred to in Arabic in the Quran as shihab mubin, which is that which is brightly shining. And it's also described as taqib, or that which pierces through the darkness. So we see these lights, you know, they can sometimes appear like the stars, which are also lights in the sky. So there's a whole lot to that. Lord knows I wouldn't have time to try to go in depth in that. But even in the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his night journey, he was said to be taken on this night journey on a winged beast called al-Burak. This term, Burak, although it describes a legendary winged beast of sorts, the actual meaning has to do with lightning. So many of your descriptions in the Book of Kings, the fiery chariot that Elijah was taken on is a fiery chariot. See, that's a light, a luminous essence involved in that. So there's a whole lot of descriptions that do refer to these wheels in terms of its ability and their ability to generate such light. Certainly an interesting observation, too.
Okay, very quickly, and these are the last two. I'm sorry. We're going to have to let Brother Ilya go. So we're going to talk to St. Louis first, and then we're going to go to the next call, and then that's going to be it. So Brother Kareem, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem.
Wa alaikum salam, Minister James Martin. How are you? And I'm going to be
world, brother.
Yes, sir. I'm going to be very, very quick. It was just in reference to, because I got on late, but it was in reference to a question that the sister had about the triangle. One of the things you have to remember is that our tactics, particularly of war, go back into the trillions of years. And what that is known as is a phalanx three-pronged attack formation. When you see them like that, look out. But that's what it is. It's called a phalanx, but it's a three-pronged attack formation. And what it is since they are wheels, they can view everything in a 360-degree direction, each one individually. But when they're in that triangle or pyramid formation, then that means they can see everything and all. Nothing can attack them and win. Okay. But that's what that comes from. And I'm gonna go ahead and let y'all roll on because I know the time is out. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Okay, last call. Area code 215. Your mic is now live.
Greetings. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam.
Yes, my name is Brother Asad Muhammad. I just basically have a quick question for you. I study a lot about the ancestors, and as a musician myself, I study the songs as well. And as our African ancestors who were in slavery in Babylon used to sing songs like Swing Low, Sweet Chariot,
yeah.
Come and Take
yeah.
Us Home.
Yeah.
My question
mm-hmm.
is, are these wills going to fulfill a specific function or duty in reference to the liberation from oppression for our people, or are they merely in the sky as a symbol like the rainbow that really doesn't serve a function but is a sign of Allah's awesome power? Which exactly is the will in reference to how we should view it as black people?
Thank you. Excellent question. I can tell you straight out that the wheel definitely does have a divine purpose, and it is goes far beyond mere symbolism. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught very plainly that the purpose of the wheel has two natures. Part of that nature is the destruction of this present world of wickedness, and the other part is the establishment of Allah's righteous kingdom. And if we attest to the record, the wheels have been known and reported and documented to have the capabilities of shutting down America and the world's most advanced nuclear weapon sites. So if these wheels have capability, then certainly this is a sign that they can do way more than that. So
they do
have a divine purpose, and we just want to make sure that we're on the right side.
That's an excellent
question, too, Brother Asad. Thank you so much for that. Now, don't get me wrong. Even though there are realistic, tangible purposes of the wheel, it does signify and symbolize other things as well. You know, of course, we can get into that maybe at another time or throughout the book, perhaps. But excellent question.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, beloved.
Okay, Brother Ilya, before you go, can you give us information on how we can get your book?
Sure, sure. Of course, the title of the book is UFOs and the Nation of Islam, The Source, Proof, and Reality of the Wheel. Again, that's UFOs and the Nation of Islam, The Source, Proof, and Reality of the Wheels. This book can be found on our website, nationbrothers.com. Again, it's spelled just like it sounds, nationbrothers.com. And our online store can be obtained from there. The book is also available on Amazon. Just type in UFOs and the Nation of Islam. In fact, it's on sale on Amazon, so you might want to go and take advantage while it's on sale right now. And be sure to leave some feedback once you read the book. I've been getting some good reviews. All praise is due to Allah. People who have been reading the book have all pretty much stated that once they started, they could not put it down. And this even came from the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, who told me with tears in his eyes that he picked it up, and once he started reading it, he couldn't put it down, you know. With tears in his eyes, which caused tears in my eyes, he told me that the research was stellar, and he was so proud of me and this work. And I'm just thankful, and it just kind of confirmed to me that this work, you know how sometimes you do things and you really feel like you're divinely inspired to do it, but you don't want to tell anybody?
Yes, brother.
Well,
go ahead.
throughout the course of this book, it took me a year to do it, and throughout the research and the compilation of what we had, it seemed like Allah was just putting data in my hands. Although I was researching and very aggressive in my research, there were some things that I couldn't, by normal means, just obtain. There were things that would just seem like it was falling into my hands, and I really felt like Allah was moving me in that direction. And it was pretty much confirmed when the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, after reading the book, and he told me, he said, "Brother, Allah put it on you to do this." And, you know, I was thinking that, but you didn't want to say anything, so that just kind of confirmed it for me. And I really am, I'm very proud of this work, and I do believe that this is something that's not just for the believers. The believers, it will certainly strengthen our faith and give us more clarity on this very important aspect of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But this is also for the skeptics. This is for those who don't believe and don't want to believe anything. You see, there's no more going to be an excuse for people like that. After right. reading the data and the facts that we've been able to compile in this book, it would literally take more energy to disbelieve this truth than it would to believe. So that's just how much work we put into this. And I'm excited about it. I'm proud of it. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to share it and share part of its contents on this format. And I really appreciate you, Brother James and Sister Ziza. Thank you tremendously.
And thank you, Brother, for your gracious agreement to come on. We're very honored, Brother,
yes.
and certainly edified, educated, and inspired, both by the contents of your book and the exegesis that you share with us from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, which, of course, is one and the same. I want to say that the minister will be on again, inshallah, with part 52 of The Time and What Must Be Done, and he will continue to talk about the wheel, to teach about the significance of the wheel. We encourage
Indeed.
Everyone to tune in. That's 6 p.m. Central Time. It's NOI.org, www.noi.org/the time, 6 o'clock Central Time and 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
So everyone tune in. If you haven't tuned in to 51 before you get into 52, make sure you do so. You have time. Thank you again. Sister Aziza?
Yes, sir. And before we go, let me give you the lineup for the week. And I want to give a special shout-out to my Twitter family who are tweeting away, Brother Otis, Brother Wayne, Brother Rudy, Soldier. Thank y'all so much for the love and the support. Wow, Allah is just awesome. That's all I can say. Allah
yes,
is awesome. All praise to Allah. So thank you to my new Twitter family out there. And let me give you the lineup for the rest of the week. So join us tomorrow, 8 p.m. Central. We'll be back with Young, Gifted, and Black, our host, Sister Yatira, and we're doing part two of Courtship and Social Media. So you don't want to miss that. Brother Reginald will be back with us and a whole lot more people. So please call in. We want to hear your voices this year. Thank you for verbally participating tonight. It was so good to hear the voices of so many of you, and we hope that we can keep this trend going. So thank you. Join us Sunday at 6:30 p.m. with Brother Vernon for No Romance, our finance, our economic development show. Join us on Monday at 8 p.m. with Brother Kareem. And he's going to talk about Our Savior Has Arrived. So you don't want to miss that. Brother Jahad will be back Tuesday at 8 p.m. with Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam. And, of course, on Wednesday, DJ Black Caesar and Friends, our hip-hop comedy show. And then on Thursday, I'll be back with the music of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the man, the mission, and his music. And we're going to be, of course, blessed with the presence of Brother Victor Muhammad out of Fort Lauderdale and a couple more people that you might be surprised to hear from. And, of course, we'll be right back here next Friday at 8 p.m. with Student Minister James Muhammad. And, of course, we're going to be talking about the time of what must be done. This is part 52 of the minister's lecture series, and it's the last part. So it's going to be very integral that we hear it tomorrow and that we be able to expound on it next week. And that's our lineup for the week. And thank you, Brother Ilya, for a beautiful presentation of your book. And may Allah bless you with much success in that. And that's it, Student Minister James.
Thank you, Student Aziza, Brother Rashad, our wonderful listening audience, participating chat room audience. May Allah continue to bless us with the light of understanding. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.